Hey, everyone. Welcome to Cigars and Syndication. I'm Robbie. I'm here with Jay. We're still smoking a Mil Diaz, and we're going to do a quick podcast so I don't burn my fingers.
I think maybe I might want to just go ahead and start another cigar. Anyway, my name is Junaid Noor. Welcome to Cigars and Syndications. We are passionate about cigars, and we are passionate about real estate. We're here to just teach everybody whatever we know about the topics on real estate, the economy, cigars, whatever we can think of. So it's just a casual conversation. What are we talking about today, Robbie?
Today, we're going to talk about the evolution of housing and maybe how the American dream, you know, home ownership, single family home ownership has kind of changed and evolved. You know, there's a serious shortage right now and prices are high, interest rates are high. And, you know, there's some creative people out there that they've made some solutions to these problems.
So, Robbie, back in 1938, the U.S. government created Fannie Mae, and Fannie Mae's objective was to promote the purchase of housing for Americans, right? Because the powers that be at the time felt that people who bought houses would create better communities, they would be grounded, and it would create equity. And so, you know, right after that, obviously, you know, people started developing houses because Fannie Mae basically created a secondary market, right? So before that, if you wanted to buy a house, you would go to your bank and you would say, hey, I need a loan. And the bank can only give you so many loans because they only had so much money on deposit. Well, what Fannie Mae did was they said to the banks, hey, if you sell mortgages, we will buy those mortgages from you, creating liquidity in the market, and we will, you know, reimburse you for the money that you put out for the houses so you can lend out even more. So that started an entire cycle of liquidity and housing for Americans.
Yeah, no, and for years and years and decades, that was how you got the American dream. You know, you go to your lender, get the money, and buy your house and get started. And, you know, there wasn't just tons of options. You had single family homes, and then you had multifamily apartments.
Right. And multifamily is, you know, obviously apartment complexes. And what it was is it was a basic progression, right? You lived in an apartment until you saved up enough money, put a down payment. At that time, down payments were 20 to 25%. You put your down payment and you bought your first house, and then you lived in it and you created equity. You built equity in it, paid off your home, and maybe you passed it on to your kids. But, you know, things have changed a lot. And, you know, not everybody wants to, especially with the millennials, starting with the millennials, they don't necessarily want to be locked down in a house and a mortgage. And, you know, they look for different options. And as a result, the market provides them different options.
Right. And you know, the multifamily concept have grown, and there's so many amenities and so many things and luxuries that you get in these multifamily communities without the maintenance, you know, the exterior maintenance. You don't have lawn care. You don't have paint. You don't have, you know, you get to alleviate yourself from a lot of things that a typical single family homeowner would have to incur.
Yeah. And as a result, a lot of people are preferring to live in these high-end luxury apartment complexes rather than dish out the money to put a down payment down and buy a house and then be locked in, right? Because remember, houses are not very liquid. So if your job has you moving around a lot, then you don't want to buy a house because, you know, you're going to have to go through the process of selling and then buying another house and then deal with, you know, taxes and things like that. So a lot of people like to just be nowadays, just be hands off and say, hey, I don't have to maintain it. I don't have to do anything. And you know what? When my lease is up in a year, I'm locked in for a year. I can move out.
Yeah. And you know, that's been status quo for a pretty good while now. And now you are in situations where you have people that want to have ownership, have home ownership. And this current situation is making it very difficult. There is just in general a shortage. The interest rates are really high, so kind of impacts your quality of life and improving that. And so now there's some things that are popping up in some tiny homes. You've got BTR communities. You've got townhouses popping up everywhere now. And so there's some creative solutions to home ownership.
Yeah. And when you have, and you know, I've seen some of these communities in Austin, Texas, where housing prices have really gone through the roof, and people who are working in Austin and want to stay close to the city, but they can't afford a larger house. And they, you know, a lot of people are in this minimalist mindset as well nowadays, where, you know, they will make do with a 150, 200 square foot house. It's tiny. They own it. And, you know, the tiny home concept is such that it's within a developed community where you'll have dog parks, you'll have parks for kids, you may have a pool. So it's kind of like a multifamily. You have a lot of the amenities that multifamilies have that a lot of subdivisions may not have, but you own your own home.
Yeah, and that concept, I mean, with the shared amenities, you know, you're starting to see that in the BTR communities. These are basically the BTR, the build to rent groups. Developers go in, they build these homes, and in lieu of actually purchasing the home, you may have an option to purchase the home, but you're renting it, and you don't have the maintenance. A lot of cases, you don't have the yard care. You don't have to worry about any of the maintenance on the home itself, and you know, maybe even have an option to buy it.
Yeah. So BTR has kind of started with the concept of institutional investors who were coming in and buying houses and renting them out. And they kind of figured that, well, wait a minute, you know, instead of us buying 200 houses in a city all spread out through the city, which makes maintenance a problem, why don't we just buy a piece of land and build 200 houses right on there and just rent all of the houses out? Great cash flow. And it reduces their operating costs because everything is in one place.
Yeah, and it allows you, you know, if you have a growing family and you want a, you know, a small outside space, you still have the convenience of no maintenance and maybe some shared amenities, you know, without that additional cost. But you still get a yard, you get a driveway, you get a garage, and things like that are very similar to owning your own home.
And BTR communities work very well for families who have children. And especially if those communities are in good schools, those families become very sticky, right? They want to stay, you know, they want the good school district. They don't have to dish out the money for a down payment. They still have a house that and their children get to go to a good school.
Yeah. And here in Houston in particular, that's kind of, you know, that's one, you know, one step closer to home ownership, one step closer to being in a house. And now you're starting to see the resurgence of townhouses, at least here in Houston. We're seeing several communities pop up. And these are the same concept, very small yard, not much to offer on the outside, but you still get the size and the space of a traditional home.
Right. And you own the house. So, you know, it's kind of an in-between from the single family home. Like if I had to say single family home at the top and multifamilies at the bottom, where, you know, you're living in an apartment complex, all these new concepts in between, like townhouses and then BTRs and, you know, tiny homes. And then you come to your multifamily, and in depending, you know, you have so many options now, depending on how much money do you want to spend? How much ownership you want? Do you want the headaches of maintenance or not? There's a lot of options out there.
Yeah. And along with that same concept, you know, I think because of the baby boomer population, you know, they still want home ownership, but maybe they don't want the yard maintenance. Maybe they don't want the upkeep. And that's also led to 55 plus communities. There's a lot of senior communities out there that have the smaller yards, no maintenance, but you still have home ownership.
Yeah. And you know, the cool thing that I've seen with 55 plus communities is that they're not necessarily there for, you know, people who have any medical issues. They're not memory care or those kinds of facilities. But they do have people on staff who organize events for 55 plus adults. And they may have maybe nurses around on staff. They may not necessarily have doctors on staff. But, you know, they'll have more amenities that are geared towards the baby boomers and elderly adults.
Well, yeah, and you know, recently you had actually met a group that are building modular homes. You know, this is another lead into home ownership. And I know that the modular communities are BTR, but they also are for sale. And so these communities, the modular construction is, you know, it's has some cost savings and speed. You know, they're able to throw these things up pretty quickly.
Yeah, so the modular homes are basically the ones, if I understand correctly, they basically manufacture them in a factory, and then they just bring them and they just kind of put them together like Lego pieces on site.
Yeah, typically the developer comes in, does all the roadways, pad sites, actually pours a slab. The modular homes arrive, you know, on 18-wheelers, and they bolt these things together and put a sign in the front yard.
So what's the difference between modular homes and manufactured homes, or are they the same?
You know, honestly, the modular homes are probably a little bit more flexible with design. They're probably, you know, they're not designed to be mobile or anything, right? These are permanent fixtures. I know some of the manufactured homes are, in fact, very similar to modular homes, but I think in the truest definition, I think a manufactured home probably falls more into the mobile home communities, modular manufactured home communities, RV parks, things along those lines.
Like a double wide trailer and those kinds of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I've seen some modular homes that, you know, you think that, oh, you know, is it going to look like a trailer? And it actually looks like a really nice house.
Yeah. You walk inside and you don't know the difference.
The other thing that I wanted to talk about is how people who are, you know, a little bit older, they're not necessarily retired or they're close to retirement, are ditching their homes and just buying RVs. I mean, I've seen some RVs out there that range, you know, $100,000 to $200,000. They are just magnificent. And people just buy those RVs and they just drive around the country.
Yeah, and there's travel, and you know, that's a lifestyle, and certainly wouldn't be a lifestyle for me, but there's a lot of people that enjoy that, and they like to pick up, and you know, maybe in the winters they're down in Arizona or the Rio Grande Valley, and in the, you know, in the summers they may go north and enjoy Colorado and travel around and see different parts of the country.
And as a result, RV parks and investment in RV parks has just boomed over the last 10, 15 years. I have a friend of mine, and that's all they do is RV parks, and they do them very, very well. They cash flow well. And there's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of headache as far as the investor or the developer goes. It's just a park, and you just have to have your, you know, water and electricity hook up. And that's it. You know, people come in, people go out, and they pay their rent, and that's it.
Yeah, and I think as long as the home values stay as high as they are and the interest rates as high as they are, there's going to be some creative solutions out there.
Yeah, well, we've gone through a whole array of different types of living spaces. I mean, from multifamily to single family to townhomes, RVs. You know, I don't like driving much, so I wouldn't be one that buys an RV anytime soon. But, you know, I think the one that we're missing that I haven't seen and maybe you've seen are boathouses.
I have not, you know, I know what they are. I've not seen a lot of communities developed or around that concept, but I'm sure they exist.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if, you know, in the Great Lakes areas or up in Minnesota where there's a lot of lakes, again, you can only do it in those areas during the summer anyway. In the winter, they have to put those boats away. But I mean, maybe in the Gulf of Mexico, if we can avoid the hurricanes, I don't know.
You know, it there's just a ton of options out there, and I think patience is key. You know, knowing your finances, knowing what your long-term goals are, you know, should probably help you determine maybe which direction to go. You know, are these permanent solutions? Are these things that are going to be around? I think some of them, yes. Are some of these things fads? Are they going to maybe dwindle down a little bit as the interest rates drop and property values maybe stabilize a little bit, get back to normal 3 or 4% growth? You know, that's yet to be seen. But you know, I think if home ownership's in your future, you know, and you want it now, you know, there are at least some options.
Yeah, and it kind of follows the market, right? I remember in the 70s, trailer homes became very popular. And the reason was that interest rates were like 15, 16%. So trailer homes were cheaper to buy. And so your mortgage payment would be cheaper. So again, yes, you know, you're right. It just depends on what your situation is and what your goals are. So, you know, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We gave you a lot of different variations on what kind of housing units are out there, both to live in and for investment purposes. They're all different types of asset classes.
Well, invest, save your money, and get you and your family in the right spot, whether it be a tiny home or single family home. I think I'm a firm believer that home ownership is a good way to go.
Yes, I agree with that. Even though it may not be financially the best way to go, because I mean, you know, 20, 30 years down, you feel like, you know, should I have invested that money? But that's a different episode. So anyway, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Check us out on albanyparkcapital.com. Hit the resources tab. We've got a lot of articles, and look us up on social media.
We'll see you soon.